This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the story of who Americans thought was Japanese propagandist Tokyo Rose, in the eyes of the reporter who helped clear her name. We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at this morning's news. Local officials from Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Champaign County met at the U of I's Beckman Institute last night for a crash course on the Mahomet Aquifer. But while the leaders heard a lot about the aquifer and its characteristics, some of their most important questions remain unanswered. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
With multiple ethanol plants proposed for East Central Illinois, there are questions about whether the Mahomet Aquifer can supply the plant's water needs on top of everyone else's. Illinois State Water Survey Chief Derek Winstanley says they don't yet know the aquifer's long-term capacity, but he said they do know how an ethanol plant would compare with current water usage.
Two ethanol plants might consume 3 million gallons of water per day. Put that in context, that will be equivalent to three times the current water that, say, the Kraft plant uses. It will be equivalent to an additional, 5 or 8 years growth in water demand from Illinois American.
Winstanley says a three-year study of the Mahomet Aquifer ordered by Governor Blagojevich will provide more information about whether new ethanol plants would put a strain on the area water supply. But local governments will have to make decisions on proposed ethanol plants before that data is in. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Some Republican Illinois lawmakers are upset with a report that the state could pay nearly $1 million next year to videotape and photograph events held by the governor and other state officials. At a press conference in Urbana, Danville Representative Bill Black blasted the Blagojevich administration for using outside contractors for the appearances and passing them off as news. Black notes the announcements are made without reporters present.
He gives this video feed that his people paid at our expense, shoot. Well, there's nobody around to answer, say, hey, what about the check? Hey, what about this? And he gets his message out, and I really think the Illinois Press Association ought to take a look at whether or not you should use canned material that is paid for by taxpayers, but there's no press there.
House GOP leader Tom Cross says the contracted coverage is also unnecessary, noting the press would cover stories of merit without asking the state to pay for it. The Department of Central Management Services already provides such services, but says it's not large enough to handle all the work. The state says contractors could be paid a maximum of $945,000 under the new contract, but the actual payment could end up being less. Candidates for governor agree that state schools need more money, but don't agree on how to get it. Democratic Governor Rob Blagojevich wants to privatize the lottery to raise it, and Republican Judy Bard Topinka wants to build a Chicago casino and expand riverboat gaming positions. Both responded to questions about education and social issues on an Associated Press candidate questionnaire. Some want to reduce reliance on property taxes for school funding and raise other taxes, but Blagojevich has taken a no-tax pledge and says he's proud he's been able to get additional money for schools without raising any taxes. Topinka says a property tax freeze in her budget plan would jumpstart talk about reforming education funding and reducing dependence on property taxes. A University of Illinois professor says the screening process for explosives at airports can be made more efficient as well as more reliable. A $250,000 federal Homeland Security grant will enable the development of electronic sensors that seek out residue from specific explosives. Michael Strano is with the Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering. He's working on a miniature device that uses electrodes about as thick as a strand of hair. He says the technology will not only quickly detect dangerous chemicals, but speed up security checkpoints.
The idea is you could get confirmation, and also you could widely deploy this kind of detection and perhaps not even select out individuals for screening. We haven't talked about the procedural implications of this, but there's a need to have fast, reliable, efficient screening methods that can be widely deployed.
Strano says he hopes to develop a prototype of the sensor in 4 to 5 years. A second grant announced yesterday will assist baggage X-ray screeners at airports. A $190,000 federal grant was awarded to U of I aviation researcher Jason McCarley. The intent of the funding is to understand human factors involved in screenings, detecting eye movement and other behavioral data. Illinois' top federal lawmakers are expressing support for Chicago's bid for the 2016 Olympics. This comes after Mayor Richard Daley flew out to Washington for a quick lobbying trip. From Washington, Sam Hudzik filed this report.
These are busy days for Congress, a looming election and a legislative rush before everyone goes home to campaign. Even with tight schedules, a bipartisan group of lawmakers came together to meet with Mayor Daley. They ate lunch and, according to those inside the closed dining room, talked about Chicago's Olympic bid. As he left the meeting, House Speaker Dennis Hastert sounded confident Chicago could beat out San Francisco and L.A., the two other American cities still in contention.
Good cities, they all have good reasons to want it, but I think Chicago's a great place to have an event like that. I mean, Chicago's a great city, it's a beautiful city, and America and the world ought to see it.
Mayor Daley says he doesn't yet know how much federal funding would be needed, but he did say the region needs more public transit to help Chicago attract the Games. I'm Sam Hudzik.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There will be no funeral for Iva Toguri, who lived a quiet life in Chicago for decades until her sudden death this week. But in the late 40s, Americans knew Toguri as Tokyo Rose, the fabled woman who broadcast Japanese propaganda to troops in the Pacific. The trouble is, though Toguri did broadcast over Radio Tokyo under the name Orphan Anne, it was never proven that she hurt American morale. In fact, it was later revealed that she assisted U.S. prisoners of war. Nevertheless, based on the coerced testimony of two other Japanese Americans, Toguri was convicted of treason and served 7 years in prison. 20 years after her release, Chicago Tribune reporter Ron Yates uncovered evidence that led to Toguri's eventual pardon. Yates, who's now the dean of the University of Illinois College of Communications, talked with me about Toguri's eventful life.
The saddest thing about this whole story, from my perspective at least, is that she was coming to the University of Illinois this weekend to work with the library, main library, in presenting and giving her papers and materials to the library for a collection. It'll be a wonderful research source for people who want to research that part of American history, the World War II era, and specifically how the lives of Japanese Americans and how they were impacted by the war. We're anticipating that's still going to happen, but Iva won't be here to do it, and that's the sad thing. She was really looking forward to coming here, and I was looking forward to seeing her again. I had seen her in January when she got the World War II Veterans Committee Citizenship Award, which was meant also a lot to her, because that was really vindication. This is an organization of 100,000 World War II veterans, and they really then...
It's sort of like reclaiming her American citizenship.
It did, and it meant a lot to her because, you know, she used to take medicine and food and blankets and things like that to the POWs in Tokyo, spending her own money. And in violation of Japanese law, she would sneak the stuff into them, you know. So she really was a patriot.
About the collection, will that be done at a later date now? Or
I think it'll be done during a later date once we are past everything, and I believe the family feels that this is a good place for this to be. I know she was very supportive of it, and it'll be done well. You know, I think it'll be a great collection of materials.
What kind of information is in that collection?
Well, I think there's something like 30 or 40 boxes of correspondence, other memorabilia, things that were associated with her life in Japan and during that period. But a lot of correspondence back and forth, you know, and a lot of stuff that's been declassified now and has been made available from the National Archives. You know, a lot of letters written by the FBI back and forth to the Justice Department, really damning stuff, which pretty well indicates they were out to get her. And that's just really, that's going to be an interesting thing to research through.
And has there been a lot of demand for that research?
I think there will be because, there's a major film in production now about her life, and my objective is to work on a book explaining the whole process that I followed and helping her get a pardon. So I think there's a lot, there'll be a lot of materials there that'll be really interesting for somebody who's interested in doing that and doing research on that era. Yeah.
How did Iva Toguri live out her life before and after the pardon? And did the pardon, what did the pardon mean to her?
The pardon meant a lot to her because it was vindication of that she did nothing wrong, and also that the fact that she was convicted on perjured testimony, and it meant a very great deal to her. Though she remained a very private individual, did not like publicity. And I always told her, I said, you know, other women, Iva, might be going on Oprah and talking about how they were messed over by the government, and you know, but she didn't. She was not that way. She never bitter toward the U.S. government at all about any of this. She did tell me, though, she could never forgive those two men for what they did to her.
And she never did.
And never did, huh? No.
Where does this story stand in your career?
I think it's one of my favorite stories because it, you know, as I tell students here, it's an indication that history is not something that's dead. It's very alive. If you go back 30 or 40 years, you can actually have an impact on the present or on the future if you go back and re-examine stories that people thought were finished, when in fact they're not finished, you know. So I it's a very important story for me, and it's also says something about the role of journalism in our society today, that it can be a force for good, and you can actually accomplish something and right wrongs.
Ron Yates is the dean of the U of I College of Communications. He helped clear the name of Iva Toguri, the woman wrongly convicted as Japanese propagandist Tokyo Rose. There is a little bit of rain in the forecast for this weekend, but it will be fairly scattered. A few scattered showers are in today's forecast for Illinois and Indiana, otherwise partly sunny. AM 580's Mike Sola says we'll see highs ranging from 57 today in northern Indiana to 70 degrees in southern Illinois. For tonight, in northern central sections of the two states, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy and lows between 45 and 52. For tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms, mainly in the northern two-thirds of the two states. The highs ranging from 61 in northeast Indiana to 77 in far southern Illinois. And by Sunday, we'll see sunshine back again across the entire area, with highs mostly in the 70s with a few 80s popping up in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.